Southern California College Training, July 6 through 12, 2009, Sacramento, California. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Morning Session 1, Message 3, Living and Walking by the Spirit. Scripture reading, Galatians 3, 2 and 5, 5, 16 through 18, and 22 through 25.
Okay, let's come to page 31. Christ lives in me, living and walking by the Spirit.
Amen.
Can we have the brothers give us the subject of Galatians right now? Go.
Christ replacing the law and leading versus religion and tradition.
Sisters. Amen. We have been many years in religion. We have been many years in our... Lord, get us out! Been many years in emotion. Always seeking, but never to find. Hallelujah for our spirit.
Amen.
In Galatians, it's really awesome to see the first two chapters really reveal Christ. You know, it ends with 220, for the most part, 220, which is the stellar verse, I am crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's kind of our banner. Well, the first two chapters, it's Christ. But then there's a shift in emphasis from chapters 3 through 6. And that is on the Spirit. And there's been a lot of misunderstanding for years in the Christian population regarding Christ and the Spirit as being two separate things. Actually, in Revelation, He's Christ. But in our experience, He's the Spirit.
Amen.
That is awesome.
Amen.
In Revelation, we believed into Jesus, but we received the Spirit. When I got saved, they didn't say, you want to receive the Spirit. They said, would you believe into Christ? And I said, yes, I would like to believe into Christ. And guess what? I got the Spirit. They're the same. Now the Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
And then the hallmark verse in the Bible on that is 1 Corinthians 15:45, that says, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, became the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
So we don't want to be theologically bound in thinking all these funny things. When you got Christ, you have the Spirit.
Amen.
When you experience Christ, you experience the Spirit.
Amen.
When you touch the Spirit, you touch Christ.
Amen.
Nevertheless, there is an emphasis in this book that turns us to the Spirit. So I'd like to have us turn to Galatians 3, and we'll read the first five verses of Galatians. Okay, how about just for ease, we'll do brothers one and we'll alternate. Okay, brothers, go.
Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly portrayed crucified.
Right. Amen. Did you receive the Spirit?
Amen.
Was it out of works of law?
No.
How?
Faith.
Amen. And He is continually supplying to us the Spirit.
Amen.
Whenever we were born again, no doubt in time, Paul was set apart from his mother's womb, but he was also called. There was a point in time Some of us may know that clearer than others. But there was a point of time when we received the Spirit. We received Christ. But is that the only time? You know, is that the famous doctrine, once saved, always saved? Is that it? And that was the dilemma. If you were a seeking Christian, that was the dilemma you had. You received Christ, and then you waited for His return. But there's this huge gap called your human life. I mean, if you receive Christ at 15, that may be 60 or 70 years. What do I do? I go to church. I participate in religious activities that are related to God and close to God, but don't have the enjoyment of Christ. But when we see that He is supplying to us the Spirit all the time, continually, then our whole view of our Christian experience changes. Let me just read this to you. The crucifixion of Christ indicates that all the requirements of the law have been fulfilled by the death of Christ, and that Christ, through His death, has released His life that it may be imparted into us in His resurrection to free us from the bondage under the law. Oh, aren't you glad you were born in, were you born in maybe 90? Some of you born in 92. Aren't you glad you're born at least in this age? Would you like to be in the Old Testament age? Every time you sin, you got to bring a cow? I mean, just think of the brother's house. You'd just be a rancher your whole life. Every time you sin, you got to bring a lamb, got to bring a cow, got to bring a turtle dove. And that was man's relationship, God's relationship with man in the Old Testament was through the law. In one sense, that was okay because that was God's way by the offerings for Him to still contact man judicially and righteously because the blood was shed. But of course, that was a type. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Amen. Behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. Takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Well, the other thing that the law did, it was a bondage because if we're honest with ourselves, we can't keep it. And you'll see a little bit in a couple of minutes that there is God's law outwardly demanding us. And then we also have self-made laws that are mainly toward like even living Christ or trying to live the Christian life. We've set up a self-made law that is so similar and so close to Christ, but it's not Christ. So when we don't make that law, when we don't keep that law, we don't feel we're justified before God. That's the subtlety of the enemy. We don't want to be like the Galatians who were born again, lovers of Christ. And then some of the brothers or Judaizers came in and they were saying, okay, it's okay to believe Christ. We'll give that to you. But you still got to keep the Sabbath. Come on. God ordained the Sabbath. And you still got to get circumcised. And you still got to stay off the pork. Praise the Lord, we're living in this age.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine no bacon, no sausage, no ham, no pork chops? Praise the Lord. Yeah, no pizza, pepperonis. Praise the Lord. Christ is our offering.
Amen.
But anyways, we're not living in that age anymore. So why would we be like the Galatians and go back? We were born again by believing into Christ and receiving the Spirit. But yet, ask yourself and look at your situation. How many times we do things to be acceptable to God? How many times we do things to be justified by God? When all that has been taken care of in the death of Christ, whatever demand God has on us, whatever requirement He has, the Son of God, His favorite, has fulfilled it.
Amen.
Do you know in this person, Jesus Christ? Okay, so you lock yourself in your room all day and you're so glad you didn't sin, right? You took out everything in your room. You're just you in your room. No TV, no iPod, no phone, no book, no novel, no friends. Then you walk out 10 hours later and say, oh, I didn't sin today. Do you think that's a, you think that's a really rich life? You didn't sin. Okay, you didn't sin, but how about your thoughts? You know there's a man on earth, Jesus Christ, who never had a thought contrary to God.
Wow.
I mean a thought. Like right now, you've got a lot of thoughts, even about me. But if Jesus would hear, he wouldn't have a bad thought about me, because all his thoughts were in line with the Father.
Amen.
Well, why would you try to do that then? Why would we try to go back to being pleasing to God when we could never make it? I think there's a verse in this chapter. It says, "For as many as are of the works of law are under a curse. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things written in the book of the law to do them." So Saul was there breaking every commandment in his service to God. He was killing. That seemed like a commandment, if I remember. You shall not kill. He was stealing, taking people's property. You know, he was surely not worshiping the unique God. So he was breaking all these commandments in a full service to God. And you try to keep the law, you try to fulfill the law, you will be a frustrated person. But a believer is someone who gets to live in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen, my brother. What's your name?
Seth.
Hey, Seth. Amen. We get to live in our Spirit.
Amen.
You know, when we live in our Spirit, all the righteous requirements of the law are fulfilled. Romans 8:4 says that the righteous requirements of the law, they still need to be fulfilled. The righteous requirements of the law are fulfilled in us, not by us. Think of that one word. If it had been translated, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled by us who do not walk according to flesh but according to Spirit. That means you have to do something. But it says that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Amen.
In us.
Amen.
Whenever we walk in the Spirit. You think about it. Think about it. When you're not in your Spirit, we hate people. You know, the Bible's clear about it. We shouldn't hate. So you're going to try not to hate today. You're going to get up and say, "I'm not going to hate because I'm a Christian." You'll be very frustrated. Don't do anything. Live in the Spirit. When you live in the Spirit, the people that you don't like become beautiful. And there's a quality in them that you never saw before. And don't think you're so much either. But there's a quality in someone that we don't like. And it comes out when we touch our Spirit. Okay, let me read you one other note here. The Galatians, through the hearing of the gospel, believed in the crucified Christ, but they received the Spirit. The one who was crucified on the cross was Christ, but the one who entered into the believers was the Spirit. The believers received such a divine Spirit by the hearing of faith, not by the works of law. He enters into the believers and lives in them, not by their keeping of the law, but by their faith in the crucified and resurrected Christ. Amen. Okay, so one, in God's New Testament economy, it is wholly a matter of walking by the Spirit to live Christ. Okay, who could, well, a brother last night did. Let's see if someone else could do it again. Who could stand up and give us 5:16? What I say? Together.
Walk by the Spirit.
And you shall.
By no means
right.
Fulfill the lust of the flesh.
How about 5:25? If. Yes. Amen. To live by the Spirit is to have our life dependent and regulated by the Spirit, not by the law. The brothers in Jerusalem, you know, the gospel first went out to the Jews. They had a dynamic salvation. They had a dynamic salvation. And the problem was there were some people that didn't fully come out of religion, of the Judaism. So they were bringing the believers back. And Paul had gone to the Gentiles and he shared with the brothers all these things that the Gentiles had received. But when the brothers in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, when they heard it, they glorified God. That's good. And said to him, "You observe, Brother Paul, how many tens of thousands there are among the Jews who have believed and are zealous for the law." So they didn't make the shift. They didn't make the shift. We don't want to believe and then be zealous for the law. We want to exercise our Spirit.
Amen.
We want to live in the Spirit. In the Spirit is freedom from law, not the moral aspect of the law. You don't say, praise the Lord, I'm born again, I don't have to honor my parents. No, the moral aspect of law actually is heightened and uplifted in the Spirit. But we're not bound by any religious law. The believers that have the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit dwelling in their spirit, they should live, walk, and have their being by the Spirit. Many Christians who love the Lord have a heart to seek Him, but they have a hidden love for the law. Whenever we do not live according to Christ, we live according to law. It's the default mode. It's just there. You just live by a certain standard. You live by a certain self-made law or a self-made standard. And it is really hard to live that way. It's best instantly, all the time when you recognize, touch the Lord in your spirit. How about that morning revival today, if you read it? It just takes a minute. If you've been far away from God for a long time, it just takes 1 or 2 minutes. Praise the Lord. Oh, I was really happy reading that today. Amen. The blood is there. No matter how far away I think I've been from God, the blood is there. Turn to the Spirit. Touch the Lord. When your mind is racing, learn, practice. You know, it's a lifelong practice. There is no one to say, oh, I've got this. No one would dare to say that. But we have to practice these things. Turning from, you know, anxiety is in the mind. Fear is in the mind. Stress is in the mind. Analyzing, criticizing, all in the mind. All in the mind. Forget about that. Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. You're right in my spirit. And then we don't live by feeling. We live by faith. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of Christ. That's why Revelation says, blessed is he who reads and who hears the words of this book. That means read your Bible out loud. Pray out loud. Pray, read out loud so you're hearing, you could hear faith. Amen. Instead of having Christ as a unique constituent in our daily walk, we may live according to the laws we ourselves have made. Living by these kinds of laws does not require that we pray, trust in the Lord, or depend on Him. Amen. Okay, I got about 3 minutes left, so I want to focus on D. God's New Testament economy is for us to be converted. We need to be converted from the old economy of the law to the new economy of Christ, which is a matter of living according to the Spirit, to express Christ with all His excellent virtues. Oh, we want to have a complete shift out of the old economy of law, self-made laws, to the new economy. You know, if you sense, geez, I've been so religious, I'm going to be unreligious. You know, maybe you walked a certain way, you kind of thought you were religious. I'm not going to walk like that. I'm going to walk like this. Galatians 6 says, neither circumcision, religion, and uncircumcision, unreligion, availed anything but a new creation.
Amen.
It's not, don't be unreligious. Don't say, we have been many years in religion, so I'm not going to be any more years in religion. It's turn to the Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah for life in the Spirit.
Amen.
It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. He, therefore, who is supplying to you the Spirit. Whenever we get to the Spirit, whenever we touch the Spirit, we are freed from all these type of things. And then I just leave you with two things. They're very, very common. You already know what they are if I tell you. But it doesn't matter if you know what they are. It's a practice that we have to continue to develop. We receive the Spirit by breathing Him in. Breathing is to call on the Lord's name. I don't mean to say at the top of your lungs all the time. You can't do that, especially in class. But you could develop a habit where you are even unconsciously calling on the Lord. You could fall asleep calling on the Lord. I've been really practicing that over the last 3 or 4 years. I don't count sheep. I just call on the Lord. When I can't sleep, When I'm just in my thoughts, I just breathe His name until I go to sleep. It's an awesome experience. And then there's praying His Word. What better way to have the hearing of faith except to pray, read His Word. Amen. 27 seconds. Amen. Okay, so as we pray the Word of God, I was talking to some young brothers here the first time. These things are new. We don't have time now, but if you have any questions on that, there are so many verses. Brother Dick mentioned that about Joshua meditating on the Word of God. Ephesians 6 says, receive the Word by means of all prayer. And there's a lot of ways to pray, read. You just read the Word, you speak it back, you pray it back. We talked about that a little bit earlier on Monday. Even our memorizing should not just be from the mentality. You know how Dick remembered those verses in Proverbs about the ant and the... What was it? The rock badger. He got it by prayer reading. Why would anybody want to try to memorize those verses? But he pray read. He just pray read them. And he still got them in him. So pray reading is a great way to receive the Spirit and to live and walk by the Spirit. Okay, how about we read the focus and we'll transfer mics here.
Okay, how about we... I'm going to cover Romans 3. How about we... why don't we read it, first of all? Let's read Romans 3 together and then alternate brothers and sisters, starting with the brothers on A.
The second kind of walk is cultivated by living in the new creation, pursuing Christ in order to gain Him, and practicing the church life, thus fulfilling God's intention in Christ for the church.
So here we have two different kind of walks. How many have heard of these two walks before? Maybe about half of us. Well, the first, when I was reading through this outline, I was considering, you know, the first walk is to walk by the Spirit. And in the footnote in Galatians chapter 5, Brother Lee points out that this is to live Christ in Philippians 1:21. So you walk by the Spirit and have your being by the Spirit in your ordinary daily life, and this implies a common, habitual daily walk, and this is to live Christ. To me, it seems like that's enough, right? I mean, this is what I've been striving for all my Christian life, is to walk by the Spirit. And if I could live Christ in everything, it seems like that would be enough. But in addition to that, there's another kind of walk, which is stoicheo. And, in these two verses, Galatians 5:16 and 25, the word walk in English, in both verses, is translated different in Greek. In chapter 16, or verse 16, it's peripateo, and verse 25 is stoicheo. So there are two different kinds of walks. The second kind of walk is one that to walk according to rules, to walk in line, to march in military rank, to keep in step, and thus to walk in an orderly manner. You know, when I read that, I thought, wow, this doesn't sound like me that much. And, I thought, well, this is really hard, you know. But actually, both of these walks are walks according to the Spirit. And if we walk according to the Spirit, eventually we will have both of these kind of walks. But I was very touched in point two at the very bottom of the page, 31. It says, the unique pathway toward God's goal is the process triune God as the life-giving Spirit.
Right.
So this is unusual. Right? This is not something that was in my vocabulary. The pathway, okay, and that's stoicheo. The pathway toward God's goal. If you want to be on the pathway towards God's goal and have the second kind of walk, right, how many want to be on that pathway?
Amen.
Not too many raise their hand. Okay, how many think it's easy to be on that pathway? Nobody raised their hand, okay? Okay, so the unique pathway toward God's goal is the processed triune God. What does that mean? The processed triune God is the pathway.
Amen.
Okay, do you think it's difficult for the processed triune God to live that kind of a life?
No.
A life according to a certain rule, a certain way, and a certain principle, right? Like a military walk, a walk in rank, right? Well, we have to realize, brothers and sisters, that the triune God has been installed into our being.
Amen.
Actually, it's very easy for the triune God to live such a life.
Amen.
Not only a life of peripateo, but a life of stoicheo.
Amen.
Right? And And this is not our job. If we think this is our job, you know, when I'm considering this way, I don't know if I really match up to this standard, right, of stoikeo, right? Such a military walk, a walk in rank, a walk in step, a walk with others, and a walk in an orderly manner, right? But just to consider that way, that is something by the flesh. That's because we still live too much by the flesh, right? If we think that we need to walk that way, then we may be walking according to the flesh. Actually, there's another life within us.
Amen.
This is the life of the processed and consummated triune God.
Amen.
And this life has been installed into our being, right? We have to realize that, right? When we walk, there's a possibility for us either to walk by the flesh. That's what we're used to. That's the way we were raised. That's our habit. We can and we do walk by the flesh oftentimes. But the verse here in Galatians is, I say, walk by the Spirit and you shall by no means,
Amen.
Fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, if we walk by the indwelling triune God,
Amen.
You think that there's any possibility that we will fulfill the lust of the flesh?
Oh.
There is no possibility.
Amen.
Right? Brian was saying, you know, the Lord never had a single, negative thought, right? This is another person.
Right.
This is the processed and consummated triune God Himself.
Amen.
If we walk by the Spirit,
Amen.
We will have such a living.
Amen.
And this is not a doctrine or a theory, right? The triune God has been installed into our being,
Amen.
Into every one of our being.
Amen.
The problem is we just need to practice. We need to get used to walking not by our natural life. Many times we get deceived, we get fooled into thinking that we need to live up to a certain standard. That is a deception.
That's right.
You know, Paul said that in chapter 5, verse 4, he said that we should not be, that Christ should not be brought to naught, right? If we walk by the flesh, we are brought to naught from Christ. We have a marvelous Christ in our being.
Amen.
But if we walk by the flesh, we're brought to nothing. We're brought to zero, right? That's a lot of times that's the way we walk, and we have difficulty trying to fulfill the law to be a good brother or a good sister, a good student, a good something. God's intention is not for us to be a good student, even a spiritual student. His intention is for us to be a God student,
Amen.
A triune God student.
Amen.
And we have already been regenerated.
Amen.
We have this wonderful triune God installed into our being.
Amen.
So we can walk by the pathway. Which pathway? The pathway of? Point two on the bottom of the page. The pathway toward God's goal is the process triune God as the life-giving Spirit. That's our pathway.
Amen.
What is the way for us to go on to reach God's goal? The way is the very triune God within our being. This is wonderful, you know. There's a quote here. There's a quote in our excerpt that says, "We were born human, right? Every one of us was born human, and we were reborn divine.
Wow.
We were born human, right? Let's all say that. I was born human. I was born human, but I was reborn divine." But I was reborn divine. Let's say the second part again and say it strongly. But I was reborn divine. Hallelujah. It's so good to be with a group of people who has been reborn divine. Marvelous. I am convinced that every one of us is going to have these two kinds of walks. The walk, the peripateo, and the stoicheo. Because we have been reborn divine. We have the triune God installed into our being. Okay, let me just read one of the. This is actually a small quote from Brother Lee in the book The Christian Life, chapter 11. He gives a little definition of these two, or an illustration of these two walks. Every human being has two aspects to his living: his common daily life and his business life. A person who operates a business or has a job must go to the office every morning by a certain specified time. Thus, he must keep the rule, the regulation of rising early every morning. Furthermore, he must go to the office 5 days a week. Then on Saturday morning, he is free to remain in bed for a longer time. See, that kind of, the same person who got up and walked in a military way to work on time, on Saturday morning, he's living a life of stoicheo. So you can see from this illustration that there's two kinds of walks. And on Saturday, he still lives his life, but he does not live it for his job. So that shows you the two kinds of walks. Actually, they're mixed together. And both of these walks can be fulfilled by walking by the Spirit. Okay, let me just read another short portion here. This is in your excerpts on page 33. The Spirit in 5:16 and 25 is the process triune God. I just love to read that. The triune God has passed through incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection to become the process compound Spirit living within us.
Amen.
Now that such a Spirit dwells within us, we should have our daily life by this Spirit.
Amen.
Let's say that together. We should have our daily life by this Spirit. Hallelujah! Let's say that with our spirit. We should live this daily life by our spirit. We have to exercise our spirit if we're going to have this kind of daily life. Because this life is not in our flesh. This life is installed within our spirit.
Amen.
I like that first song we sang. You know, there's a fountain of the triune God that's been installed in our being. If we exercise our spirit, we contact our spirit, we live in our spirit, there will be a fountain, a gushing up fountain of life,
amen,
causing us to live another kind of life.
Amen.
And, you know, that verse in Galatians that Brian read, it says, it's verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5, he therefore who bountifully,
amen,
is he bountifully supplying you right now? If he's not, you may be under the law in the flesh, right? If we're in the Spirit, right, there's a bountiful supply in our spirit. We just turn a little bit, turn to the Spirit, and there's a gushing up, bountiful supply. He who bountifully supplies you, that's not an outward supply, right? That's an inward supply. There's a bountiful fountain in our being. Supplies you the Spirit and does works of power among you. Does he do it out of the works of law or out of the hearing of faith?
Right.
Hallelujah. We're not doing. We're hearing.
Amen.
We're enjoying.
Amen.
Enjoying the Spirit within us. Okay. I'm concerned that instead of walking by the Spirit and living in the essence of the divine life, living in the essence, we have to realize there are two essences in our being, right? We were born human, with a human essence, and we were reborn divine with the divine essence. Many of us are still living by the flesh, by the essence of our fallen life. To walk by the Spirit means that we take the Spirit as the essence of our life. I just love that. Take the Spirit as the essence of our life, right? If you're looking at yourself and you feel you're so short in many ways, right? You're not taking the Spirit. You're taking what you are as the essence of your life. Look within you. There's another essence.
Amen.
There's another person.
Amen.
Take the Spirit,
amen,
as the essence of your life.
Amen.
I have another essence, right?
Amen.
We can all say that. We were reborn divine.
Amen.
Every one of us is divine.
Amen.
And we have a divine essence. And we can live and walk by the divine essence.
Amen.
As regenerated people, we have two essences, the flesh and the spirit. Before we were saved, we did everything by the flesh because we were constituted of the element of the flesh. Right? Before we were saved, there was no possibility for us to live for 1 second by the spirit. Right? We lived by the flesh. The flesh was the essence of our life, our constitution. The actions of the flesh may differ, but the essence is the same. For example, one person may despise his parents. Is that by the spirit or by the flesh? By the flesh. And another may honor them. Is that by the spirit or the flesh? That may be by the flesh. Okay, let me read that again. One person may despise his parents and another may honor them, but both actions are by the flesh. If the flesh is the essence of their living, you see, a person may honor his parents according to the law, and he's living according to the principle of the law. Another principle, right? And that constitutes a living by the flesh. We have to realize we have another source. Amen. We have another essence. Amen. One day, the all-inclusive spirit with the essence of the divine life came into us. From that time onward, it has been possible for us to live either by the essence of the flesh or by the essence of the spirit. Brothers and sisters, from the time we were regenerated, it has been possible for us either to live by the essence of the flesh or to live by the essence of the spirit. Before we were regenerated, it was not possible for us to live by the essence of the spirit. But now it's possible. We have another wonderful essence within our being. This is marvelous. I'm just so happy to see so many vessels here with two essences, right? And with the possibility to live a life of walking by the Spirit.
Amen.
In Galatians 5, Paul charged us to walk by the Spirit, that is, to take the Spirit as our essence and constituent. No longer should we live by the flesh, our old constituent, but by the Spirit, our new constituent. Amen. Oh, I just love that, right? Let's all say, we have a new constituent.
We have a new constituent.
Let's all say, I have a new constituent. I am born divine. I am born divine. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.